By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau in regard to their future. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of Joseph's sons and worshipped as he leaned on the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when his end was near, spoke about the exodus of the Israelites from Egypt and gave instructions concerning the burial of his bones. By faith, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born because they saw he was no ordinary child, and they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as far greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward. By faith he left Egypt. Not fearing the king's anger, he persevered because he saw him who is invisible. By faith he kept the Passover and the application of blood, so that the destroyer of the firstborn would not touch the firstborn of Israel. By faith, the people passed through the Red Sea as on dry land, but not when the Egyptians tried to do so. They were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell after the army had marched around them for 7 days. By faith, the prostitute Rahab, because she welcomed the spies, was not killed with those who were disobedient. And what more shall I say? I do not have time to tell about Gideon, Barak, Samson, and Jephthah, about David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised, who shut the mouths of lions, quenched the fury of the flames, and escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned to strength, and who became powerful in battle and routed foreign armies. Women received back their dead, raised to life again. There were others who were tortured, refusing to be released so that they might gain an even better resurrection. Some faced jeers and flogging and even chains and imprisonment. They were put to death by stoning. They were sawed in two. They were killed by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, and mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains, living in caves and in holes in the ground. These were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised, since God had planned something better for us, so that only together with us they be made perfect.
Our dear Lord, give us the eye of faith to see you as Father, to know you as God, and to experience your love. In faith, hear our prayer, accept our praise, speak your words, shape your decision, our decisions, and cause us to grow in grace until we stand before you for all time. In Jesus' name, amen. A lonely cattleman was wandering through a field looking for a Wi-Fi signal when he slipped and fell down a cliff. As he was falling, he reached out and he managed to grab hold of a hanging branch of a cliffside bush. And as he held on for dear life and looked down at the 100 feet or so that was below him, 100 metres or so below him, in desperation he cried out, "Help me!" There was no answer. He yelled again as the branch began to slip a little bit. "Can anyone hear me? Help!" Again, no answer. And then as the bush started to break free, with every last bit of hope, he yelled out, "Anyone help?" And a voice answers, "I'm here. I can help." Who is it? It's the Lord. "Can you help me?" "I can. Let go of the branch." The man The man looks around, freaks out. "Let go, I can catch you," the Lord promises. "Is there anyone else up there that can help?" Friends, faith is not always as easy as we want. Yet faith at some point may be the only thing that we need. Abraham Lincoln once said, "Faith is to believe what we do not see, and the reward of this faith is to see what we believe." Isn't that a great quote? Faith is to believe what we do not see, and the reward of this faith is to see what we believe. Now, this is the second week of a three-week series looking at the topic of faith. Last week we looked at the question, what is faith? This week the question we look to answer is, how can I have faith? And then next week, what does faith in action look like? So today, how can I have faith? Faith is seen in all sorts of different ways. Over the years, I've had all sorts of conversations with people on the topic of faith. It sort of comes with the territory of being somebody who's in full-time ministry. Good questions that have come too. They've been raised. Christians have asked me, how do I know that my faith is real? Or they've asked me, does doubt mean that I have a shallow faith? Don't know if you've ever asked yourself that question or heard that question. And there's also been questions from folk who are exploring Christianity. Perhaps that's you. So good that you are here. Questions like, how do I get faith? Or what does faith achieve? What's the point of faith? Is there anything that's in my benefit to be a person that has that faith? As I said, good questions. And a good way to answer that is to open up to Hebrews 11 and to help those men and women who might be asking those questions to look at some other men and women, those from the Old Testament who are listed here. Our faith is demonstrated by each of those that are recorded in this roll call of faith as they actively trust God. These ancients are examples of faith, role models, sort of. So could you please open with me to Hebrews 11 so that we might be able to have a little bit more of a closer look at these who were introduced to last week. Now, our world loves role models. Why do we love role models? Well, because they are just like us, sort of. They represent the potential, that hidden desire, that hopeful dream, that we too could be like them. Role models often give us reason to hope. The author of Hebrews is writing to a bunch of people who held these Old Testament characters up as role models. They were the forefathers of Jewish tradition. They were role models of faith. But the author wants his readers to imitate, for them to not imitate their traditions, but to imitate their faith in God. That very thing that motivates the people who are listed in this chapter. By using these people as examples, he shows his readers how it's not just being a role model that's important, it is that God and faith in him is important, and that should speak for us today. Around the walls, you will see names of those who are mentioned in Hebrews 11, and alongside them, the Old Testament passages where we will read about their faith acts. Now, it's school holidays, so I thought it'd be helpful to have a bit. I need some help actually here. So, can I ask all of those who are enjoying their school holidays? So if you're at school, can you come on up the front here? I need some help. If you're willing to do that, come on up here. If you're not, send your parents. come on up here. Lead away. If you're in primary school or at high school, if you want, come on up the front. This is not going to take long. I'm not going to ask you questions that you won't necessarily know, but I need to use you as an example of faith. Come on over here. Well done. Okay, now don't sit down. Okay, I want to ask you to be role models of faith for us, for this illustrious congregation before us, okay? Okay, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you a name, and you're going to take part as one of the role models of faith. And I'm going to give you a sheet, and what I want you to do is I want you to go on over and stand below the sign of the person who you are representing for us. Can you do that for us? Okay, now if you can't read, grab somebody nearby that can read, and they'll show you what to do. Okay, so if you guys can come up here, come on up here and face your lovely mums and dads. Come on up here. Well done. Okay. Is anybody called Abel here? No, I didn't think so. All right, can I ask, can you be Abel for me? Hold this one here. Abel, here is one of our witnesses of faith. So Abel, son of Adam and Eve, Abel offered God a pleasing sacrifice and was commended for his faith. Can you go and stand over next to Abel? Thank you. Enoch, anyone called Enoch? No, there we go. Can you take Enoch for me? Come over here, mate. Okay, Enoch. Enoch lived in the generations between Adam and Noah. He walked with God in faith, and at the right time, he was taken away to be with God. Pretty nice way to go. Can you go and join Enoch over there and stand that through? Do we have a Noah here? No? Okay, can you be Noah for us? Is that all right? Noah. He was told to build an ark. You reckon you can build an ark? It'd be a big job. Okay, build an ark. He, despite the ridicule of others that were around him, he obeyed and he was commended for his faith. So can you be Noah and go and stand over there with Noah, which is good. Abraham, Abram, Big Abe, anything like that? No. Okay, you can be Abraham. Jeremy, can you come on over here if that's okay? Abraham, he was a father of faith. We know this name well, being used in all sorts of different ways. No example of faith, no list roll call of faith would be complete unless you had Abraham in it. He was instructed to leave his homeland, and he did. He lived as a refugee. He waited to become a father despite the fact that he was quite an elderly gentleman. And then when God tested his faith with his young born son, he asked him to sacrifice that son. He trusted in God's promises, and God commended him for his faith. So can you go and be Abraham for me? And can you take your big brother, make sure that he does what he's supposed to do? Is that okay? Thank you. Go and find Abraham. Thank you. Well done. Okay. Next is Isaac, Abraham's son. Can you be Isaac for us? Okay, Isaac was believed God and believed that God would look after all of his father's descendants just as he was promised, commended for his faith. Go on over there. Next is Jacob. Oh, can you be Jacob for us? Okay, hold that one up. Jacob's going to be over there. That's right. Now, Jacob was the father of 12 sons who became the 12 tribes of Israel. He trusted God that he would be true to his promises, and he blessed each of his grandsons, knowing that God would keep his promise in there. Can you be Joseph for us? Joseph here. Okay, Joseph was sold into slavery, yet he believed that God would keep his promises about the land and about the descendants, and he stood firm in faith. So Joseph is all the way down the other end down there. Now, friends, each of these examples put their faith into action. And we've not even got out of the first book of the Bible. That's just Genesis. All those examples of faith, just from Genesis. Faith was a fundamental core value for the people of God, right from the very start. And that has always been the case. And with each, they didn't receive the things that were promised from them during their lifetime. Instead, they longed for a heavenly future and placed their faith in God's eternal hope. Someone have a Bible open? Can I borrow your Bible for a second? Have a look at Hebrews chapter 11, verse 13. It says, "All these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance, admitting that they were foreigners and strangers on earth." All of these witnesses never got to see the fulfillment in their lifetime of the promises that were made to them, and yet they lived by faith. Shall we keep going? All right, Moses' parents. We need two people to be Moses' parents. Who can be Moses' parents? Who would like to be that one? Okay, how about you come on over here? Do you want to come up here? You can be dad and you can be mum. Is that right? Moses' parents. Now we get into there you go. Okay, Moses' parents, they were actually, no, I need that one back. No, I won't give you Moses away just there. Moses' parents, under the threat of state persecution, hid their son and gave their son up, trusting that God would look after him. Example of faith. Can you guys go on and join Moses' parents all the way over there? Is that okay? Just go on all the way up there? Well done. Gee whiz, what a faithful man. Okay, Moses. Let's get Moses. Come on over here. You can be Moses. Moses, well, we know his name well. He chose to stand with his people Israel and lost all his Egyptian privileges. And then he led Israel out into the desert, ultimately into freedom. Can you go and stand with Moses all the way over there? Now, the Israelites. The Israelites were an important bunch, so I need quite a few of you here. Can you guys all sort of come over? Come on up here. That's right. Over here, you can be a group of Israelites. Hold on to that. Come on over. Come on over. Come on over here. Come on up. Okay, now the Israelites, the people of God, they followed Moses. They fled from a superpower. They deserted. They went into the desert where there was no food for them. They went through the Red Sea. They eventually went into what would become the Promised Land, where they had to go to a fortified city and somehow overcome the fortified walls as they came tumbling down in Jericho. Now, all of these accounts are listed for you in Hebrews 11. Can you, Israel, go all the way over to the Israelites and enjoy celebrating what it is that you do there? Here, I'll give you this one, Mr. Israelite. There you go. Okay, then we had Rahab. Who wants to be Rahab? Nobody wants to be Rahab. Come on over here. Sure, through. Come on over here as well. Rahab is a beautiful woman, by the way, so we need to recognize how amazing she is. Rahab, Gentile woman who protected the Israelite spies, very brave, and did so because she trusted in God, the God of Israel. So if you can go on over with Rahab that was there. Now, at this point in Hebrews, the writer runs out of time. Or maybe he doesn't run out of time. He figures he's made his point. And so instead of going into any more detail, he just starts listing off a whole bunch of faithful witnesses, judges, kings, and prophets. So here we go. Can you be Gideon? Gideon's on over there. He likes his wool jumpers. Barak on over there. Samson, quite strong, good long hair. Jephthah, sorry about that, mate. Then we had David, King David, well done. Make sure you pay good attention to your wife. Samuel, and all of the prophets that were there. And then there are a whole bunch of others. Now, can you guys do this? There were women. There were those who... Well, you hold on to that one. And if you can go on and stand over there, that would be great. Can you go with this gentleman over here? You hop on down. Whoa! There you go. Thank you. Okay, and so you have all of these people who are mentioned quite quickly and helpfully for us. Now, they are all different examples, all from different ages in the Bible, all in different situations, yet what they all had in common was that they exercised their faith. Sometimes it was costly. You can see that in verse 35 of your notes, of your Bible passage there. They were the ones who exercised their faith. Women, those who were tortured, those who were flogged or jeered, put in prison, eventually killed, some stoned, some sawn in two, some put to death by the sword. These people are all put forward as witnesses. Friends, this is a great cloud of witnesses that comes just from the Old Testament. Witnesses of faith. Look at what chapter 12, verse 1 says. Chapter 12, verse 1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, friends, we sit among a great cloud of witnesses. And when we have faith in God, we stand among those ancient witnesses that have the same faith. When we have faith in God, it doesn't mean that we are perfect. It doesn't mean that we've got it all right. Again, if you look alongside the great acts of faith of all of these people who are around the walls, you can see they're not perfect. Your kids must be lovely. If they're your kids, I'm not talking about them. Look at the characters that they are representing that are there. You know the names. You know the stories of what these great people of faith did. Murder, drunkenness, adultery, deception, pride, rebellion, jealousy, quarrelling, idolatry, dissension, prostitution, selfishness, arrogance, and the list goes on and on. These guys are in many ways known better for some of the things that they did wrong in faith than they are for their faith. These people were not examples of moral uprightness. They were examples of faith, witnesses for the generations that were to come. To the person who thinks that they could never be good enough, to the person who thinks that in order to be a person of faith, you have to be good enough, then the author of Hebrews wants to say, faith is not about how good you are, but how good the God in whom you put your faith in is. Can you give a round of applause to our people of faith and let them sit back down again? Thank you, everyone. Have a seat. Have a seat. Go back to Mum and Dad. They'll be thrilled to have you back. And I don't need, that's a souvenir. Those bits of paper are your souvenir for you. You can hold on to them. Maybe look them up when you get home. So, how does someone have faith? How does someone have faith? To answer that, can I take you from the witness of these Old Testament champions to the witnesses of the New Testament and ask you to keep a finger in Hebrews 11 if you want, but turn with me to Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10. In the Old Testament, we met Israel, the chosen people of God. In the New Testament, they are called the Jews. In the Old Testament, we know of the other nations. In the New Testament, the other nations are called the Gentiles. And Jesus taught his Jewish disciples to be his witnesses. At the beginning of Acts, he sends those witnesses, he sends them out to be the witnesses, to Jerusalem, that is the Jewish capital, to Judea, the Jewish state effectively, to Samaria, to the Samaritans, and then to the ends of the earth. So in other words, to the Gentile world, everyone else. In Acts 10, we meet Cornelius, a Gentile. He's described in verse 2, and also in our Bible, as our Bible reading was done today, as a devout and God-fearing man who gave generously and prayed regularly. This guy was religious. He was a person of faith. He received a vision from God which told him to go and to send for the Apostle Peter. To complement this, Peter also receives a vision. Actually, he receives three visions. Now, remember, this is Peter. It takes three times for him to get the vision. He's told to go with the men whom Cornelius has sent. Now, the issue here for him is that Peter is a Jew. Cornelius is a Gentile. And Jewish law was clearly against Jews associating with Gentiles. Peter goes, and when he arrives, he's asked to speak. You can see that, Acts chapter 10, verse 34. Following Peter, what happens there is that Peter delivers what is his fifth sermon in Acts, and his first sermon to a Gentile audience. It's a sermon which calls people to faith, and it shows us that faith is for the benefit of all. Faith is for the benefit of all people. Look at verse 34. Then Peter began to speak. I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts from every nation the one who fears him and does what is right. You know the message God sent to the people of Israel, announcing the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. You know what has happened throughout the province of Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism that John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around doing good and healing all those who are under the power of the devil because God was with him. We are witnesses of everything he did in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They killed him by hanging him on a cross, but God raised him from the dead on the third day, caused him to be seen. He was not seen by all the people, but by witnesses, whom God had already chosen by us who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one whom God appointed as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him. And everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. Peter preaches the gospel. If you were to look at each of his sermons in the book of Acts, you'd find that he follows the same structure in each. It doesn't matter whether it's to Jew or to Gentile. He declares the same Jesus to each. First, he speaks about the life of Jesus to Jew or Gentile. Then he speaks about the death and resurrection of Jesus to Jew or Gentile. At last, he calls people to believe in Jesus to Jew and Gentile. If you like, well, let's look at that one. Those verses that you get, he speaks about the life of Jesus in verses 37, 38. A life that is relevant to both Jew and Gentile. It's out there for anyone to see. Then he speaks about the death and resurrection of Jesus in verses 39 to 41. A death and resurrection that was for Jew and for Gentile. And then he speaks, or then he calls people to believe in Jesus in verse 42 and 43. Again, he calls all people, Jew or Gentile. So friends, how does someone come to faith? Well, they need to know about the life of Jesus. They need to know about his death and resurrection. And they need to believe in Jesus. And while Peter was speaking, the Holy Spirit comes into those listening, both Jew and Gentile. Friends, the way a person comes to faith today is much the same way that they did at the time that Acts was written. It is through the declaration of Jesus. Let me take you back to the model of faith. It's going to come up on the screen, and it's printed in your outline. Sorry, its orientation here is landscape, not portrait, but same model of faith. This is what I introduced to you last week. Each person, regardless of circumstance, will be shaped by their reality, their knowledge, and the significance of those two things, of their reality and of their knowledge. When you put them together, then that helps them make their decisions about life and faith, their faith decision. And that decision will either act for or against. It will demonstrate belief in the way that they act, or it will demonstrate unbelief in what they act against. Now, how do you help a colleague, a friend, a relative, a teammate, someone at school? How do you help anyone to have faith? Well, what we need to do is declare Jesus into their life. Let me modify this a little bit. when you declare Jesus into their life, you might need to do that in different ways in order to help them, to love them well. It may be that we have to declare Jesus into their reality, to show them whatever the event or experience might be, that it is made better by having Jesus. Or to show them by example that living for Jesus is a better way. Or it could be that we have to declare Jesus so that they will be informed, so that they will gain knowledge, that they will need to be able to see faith. They will need to then be able to see that faith in Jesus is a good thing. They will understand that Jesus is for them. Or it could be that we have to demonstrate the significance of what Jesus has done, or to help them to see the scale of the problem that Jesus addresses in the world. All with the hope that that might help them make a decision of faith. Can you see how the declaration of Jesus may feed into the reality, the knowledge, or the significance, or the scale of whatever circumstance it might be before us? You remember last week we said you don't have to be Christian to have a reality, to have knowledge, and to work out whether it matters or not. But to see that Jesus speaks into each of those circumstances can be a very, very helpful way to serve and love a person. Now, it would be lovely if there was a clear 2 or 3 step plan that could go with each person that that would bring them to faith. That would be terrific. But where would the fun in that be? People are complex. People are important. And so to be a witness, Christians need to be ready to declare Jesus into the hearts, into the minds, into the hands of those who love, into the reality, their understanding, and into the significance of what is happening around them. And in doing so, we help our friends to make faith decisions which help them to experience the forgiveness of sin. As such, they move with faith to accept the forgiveness of sins. Let me draw this to a close by taking us back to Hebrews 11. When I've had those conversations about how one might come to faith, the next logical question is, what does faith achieve? Is it worth it? Will it be good for me? Well, friends, that great cloud of witnesses help us to see some of the great benefits of faith in God. So I want to give you 9 statements, which are printed there in bullet point form on your sheet, that outlines how faith helps us. Faith helps us conquer fears. Remember Moses' parents, verse 23? They were not afraid of the king's edict. Faith helps to conquer fear. 2, faith determines options. Verse 24, Moses refused to buy into what Egypt were offering and chose his people instead. And regardless of the disgrace that would come with that, he stood in faith so that he could take Israel to where God wanted them to go. Interestingly, you notice how the author of Hebrews actually describes Moses' faith as a faith in Christ, even though Christ was to come so much later. Moses is credited as a faith in Christ. 3, faith helps us to give focus. Verse 27, Moses saw what God wanted for Israel, and so he led them out of Egypt, even though what it looked like he was leading them to could not have been very promising. 4, faith helps to recognize dependence. See that in verse 28. Moses and Israel kept the Passover. They had to follow the word of the Lord, and in doing so, the Spirit would pass over their houses, and so they would be saved. Recognize dependence. 5. Faith helps to overcome difficulties. The people who went through the Red Sea, that was difficult. They're standing with a superpower coming up there, up behind them, and they're standing before a sea that they cannot cross on their own power. And yet God parts the Red Sea. And then they stand before the new promised land, the city with Jericho at its main, with all of their fortified walls, and the walls come tumbling down. Faith helps to overcome difficulties. 6. Faith helps to include the fallen. Our roll call of faith places us right alongside the best sinners, and it gives us hope. 7. Faith helps to inspire great acts. In verse 33, we see acts which conquer kingdoms, administer justice, achieve the seemingly impossible, shut the mouths of lions, douse the flames, escape the sword, turn weakness into strength. And those great acts find their equivalent in what Christians do today as we speak out for the voiceless, as we serve the homeless, as we save the unborn child, as we provide for the refugee, as we champion the disabled, as we cherish the elderly, as we declare an eternal message of love and peace and hope. Faith inspires great acts. 8. Faith generates opposition. Verses 35 to 38 lists off, you know, a whole bunch of really horrible things. And although you would not want or wish this kind of opposition on anyone, it does show us that faith matters, even if it is unpopular, before those who may reject it. To stand with opposition before you because of your faith means your faith matters. And last, faith helps us await fulfillment. In Jesus, verse 39, because God has planned something better for us, so that all who are commended by God, and it isn't just those who are in the scriptures here in chapter 11, it is all of those commended in faith will be made perfect. Faith is not believing that God can. It is believing that God will. Friends, where is faith seen today? To make that a little bit more personal, where is your faith seen today? If the strength of your faith on a Sunday is not the strength of your faith on a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, there's something wrong with our faith. It's the same faith. It is the same faith that we see in Genesis, in the faithful acts of the ancient cloud of witnesses, in the faithful acts of the apostles and the first declarers of Jesus, and in the faith of the saints today, of those who are Christian, who declare the name of Jesus. Friends, under God, in faith, if you are a person of faith, can I challenge you to show yourself as a witness, to add your name to the long list of amazing witnesses of faith that we see there in Hebrews 11? Is there anyone up there? Can anyone hear me? I'm up here, says the Lord. I can help, and I will. put your faith in me. Let's pray. Lord and Father, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, and since we have heard the testimony of so many witnesses, help us in faith to bear witness to you. In Jesus' name, amen.